Thank you, Esther.
Well, good morning, church. How are you? Yeah, good, good. Turn to the person next to you and say, you look good this morning. Yep. Turn to the person on the other side of you, say, you too, you look good. Oh, nice. Fantastic. Well, thank you, Royce, and to the elders here at Wainuiomata Baptist. Thank you for inviting us, myself, Cap, to be here. Thank you for the past 11 years of partnership. It's beautiful to be worshipping with you this morning. Thank you to the worship team who led us so wonderfully this morning in worship. My name is Esther. And my job, my role at CAP is the head of our partner services and support team. So pretty much that just means I get to engage with churches, church leaders, and amazing CAP coaches across the motu to help them open their debt help centres in their communities, and when their debt help centres are open, to support them as they continue to offer help. So here is a photo of me and my family. Oh, there it is. Hey. Okay, so that is my husband, Benjamin. He is Ngāti Porou from the east coast of our north. Oh, kia ora. Woo-hoo. He's from Ruatoria. And those are my two beautiful children. That is Malachi, who is 7 years old. And then down the bottom there, that is Micah Rose. She is 4. Now, what you might just when you look at this photo, you can see it's just her head there. This was the most recent Mother's Day photo that we took at our church. And we had to only get a chest above shot, because by the time it got to this point of taking the photo, she's not wearing any pants. Right? So she looks sweet, but she is savage, my girl. And so she just gets to church and she just runs around, something spilled on her, and I thought, oh my goodness, we did not get the Mother's Day photo quick enough. So you can see the smile on my face. Hey, I'm not really that happy. On top of that, my son has lost his shoes. I don't know where they went. And so we are a really normal family in South Auckland. That's where we worship at our church there in South Auckland, and this is us. And so a couple of things that I'd love to share this morning that drew me to the work of CAP in the first place. While my husband is tangata whenua and Māori, I am not. I am Fijian. And in my family, our core values as we were raised was service to God and service to our community. And so I felt very blessed 3 years ago when a role came up at CAP, and I was able to join the CAP team, where every day I get to live out my values, which is service to God and service to community. While I had grown up in a family that went to church, we actually walked through some significant hardship. From domestic violence that split our family to the ensuing poverty that was part of the flow-on effect. And there was a time I remember seeing my mum standing at the front door of our house, and she was crying. So concerned, I walked up to her and I said, "What has happened?" And to my surprise, she turns around and she says, "We didn't have anything in the cupboards. I didn't know if we'd be able to eat anything for dinner, but God is looking after us." She turned and then showed me that in front of her were two boxes filled with groceries that a stranger had dropped at our doorstep. So this work for me, when I come and visit churches like this, get to know people like Alan, it is churches like this, people like Alan and people like yourselves that engage in these very practical but also very powerful acts of service in community. That one act of service for my family changed me and shaped me forever. In my broken and messy life, somehow this one act of kindness shaped my being to know that there is a God in heaven who deeply cares about people and that he uses people to show that care and bring hope. From that moment, I was different. From that moment, I then lived with this base level of hope in me that somehow God was real and that God became real through acts that people would engage in. And that is the work that we're talking about today. And that is also why it's just such an incredible privilege to be joining with you, to share the same heart, to walk alongside people in financial hardship. And it's why we've partnered together for 11 years. We have the same heart to fully see people in their need and to bring them help and hope. Not because they are problems to be solved, but because they are people to be loved, as we've already been so wonderfully encouraged this morning. They are sons and daughters made in the image of God. So I am excited and profoundly moved that you do this as a church, and you have been doing this as a church for 11 years. So what does that transformation and impact look like? We've shared a little bit already this morning. What it looks like is 146 homes that have been visited. It also looks like just over $1.48 million. That's just your church. That's not CAP National. That is Wainui Omata Baptist. That's what Alan has been working with and all the support workers. Georgina, $1.48 million. And debt and bills have been repaid or written off because of the mahi you guys have been involved in. Isn't that incredible? And currently, right now, there are 15 whānau that your church is working with. So, Alan, ngā mihi nui ki a koe. Thank you, thank you, thank you for every time you've gone out on a visit, for every time you've sat in someone's home, for every time you've prayed, for every time you've invited, for every time you've put on a Bible study, for every time that you have given of yourself. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so, as we look to the future, as we consider that there is another person who might be who's in the wings and coming forward along with Georgina, that means over the next year, along with this 15 clients, there will be an additional 24 clients and their whānau who will be involved in this work. And so once again, I just cannot express my gratitude this morning for this church, for what you get involved in. And I also want to say, maybe let's get involved some more. You know, maybe let's deepen our involvement because we can see God is indeed at work. And so this morning, I'm going to share some scripture. And as I do, most of you should be familiar with this scripture, but the scripture we're going to go through is in Mark and chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn in your Bibles. I'm going to read from the NIV version, and we're going to start from verse 30. If you don't have your Bibles, the scripture will come up on the screen as well. And so this story, it starts with chaos. Well, this scripture, it starts with a bit of chaos. Then we move through and there's some surrender. And then it ends in abundance. So let's dive in if you can read that. In verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. He then gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. May God bless the reading of the word today. As we read this scripture, I think about this miracle, and I think this miracle is a little bit more than feeding a hungry crowd. It actually shows us something of the heart of Jesus and how he works through ordinary people to bring hope and transformation. And I would like to explore that this morning just a little bit by sharing three simple observations from the passage. Are you ready? Yeah, good. You look ready. Okay, let's dive in. So, number one, my first observation this morning is that Jesus brings order to chaos. When Jesus looked at the crowd, he didn't just see the people as a problem to solve. He saw people, thousands of hungry, tired, uncertain, maybe even anxious people. And before the miracle happens, Jesus does something really interesting. In verse 39, it says, Jesus directed them all to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. Interesting. Imagine the scene. 5,000 men, most scholars will say, plus women and children, is at least 10,000. So this is a large group of people. People are pressing in, people are hungry, people are concerned about where their next meal is coming from. And Jesus says, "Hey guys, let's put everyone in groups." There's no PA system, there's no text alert, there's no Facebook group. There's nothing like that. Just Jesus and the disciples go and put these hungry, maybe anxious, maybe hangry people in groups of 50s and in hundreds. Why? Why would Jesus do that? When I look through scripture, I think, is there evidence that God can rain down food from heaven? Yes! And all the people had to do was, the Israelites had to do was wake up and walk outside their tents and there was the food. Why would Jesus be putting people in groups like this? What is the point? Well, I'm going to tell you something very deep and profound this morning. So I don't know. But what I do know as a parent of young children or just kids, whenever we go to eat, what I often say to my children when they're getting irritable and hangry, I say, "Sit down so that we can eat." And here's the really natural thing that is happening in the middle of this supernatural situation. The obvious point where Jesus invites people to be in a position where they can sit down and receive what he is about to do. There's a lot that you can do right now, but of all the things you can do, just sit down. And this is where CAP begins as well. Because people, when they call CAP, they don't call CAP because things are going super well. They call because there's chaos. They call because the bills have piled up. They call because the debts are growing. The phone won't stop ringing. The letters won't stop arriving. Relationships are under strain. And hope ran out a long time ago. And it's in these moments where Ellen, Georgina, might connect with the client and say, have a seat, sit down, let's talk. For many people, that moment of just sitting down, that is the moment where hope begins to return. Not because the debt has disappeared, not because every problem has been solved, but because someone has stepped into the chaos and said, you're not alone anymore. I'm not going to send you away to fix the problem yourself. Come, sit down. So when amazing coaches, even support workers, visit a client and they're entering into someone's difficult situation, this entire practice of just sitting with someone, listening without judgment, asking questions like, tell me, what is your heaviest burden right now? What are your challenges? Let me introduce you to your financial mentor. Between the financial mentor in Auckland and the coach, me or Ellen, we're going to work together so that you can walk into financial freedom. The very act of sitting down and having one conversation may seem simple, but it has a profound effect on a client's well-being. And this is often the beginning to bring order to some of the chaos. Oh, here's a comment, a quote from a client. This is the very client who is on the screen there. She says this. She says, the first thing Cap did was to make sure I had food. And I cried because I could never afford healthy food before. Fruit, veggies, meat. That was set up in my money plan, and I didn't feel alone. I just want to just pause, and the client hadn't actually engaged in her budget yet. She just saw a piece of paper where something might be possible. She just sat down and had a conversation. And what I love, or one of the many things that I love as we look at the scripture, is that Jesus brings order, and he doesn't make the food rain from heaven, but he brings order. He says, come on, let's sit down. Let's have a look. Let's get people into groups, because there's a way to participate. There's a way to receive this miracle, and it started with an invitation to sit. The second thing I want to highlight this morning is that Jesus uses, obviously, what we place in his hands. So there are 10,000 people sitting there hungry, and the disciples are saying something very logical. Hey, let's send them away so that they can eat. And Jesus has this wild idea. He says, you do it. You give them something to eat. To which the disciples reply, that would take like half a year's worth of wages. Are you asking us to spend that kind of money here? Essentially, the disciples are saying, we can't do that. And honestly, I don't blame them. What did they have? 5, maybe 10,000 people. They didn't even have the 5 loaves and 2 fish. They had to go and get it off a boy. So they had 10,000 people, they stole a boy's lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fish, they're like, this isn't Jesus, this is all that, the math was not mathing at that point. And they're right, they couldn't feed the crowd, not by themselves. I believe Jesus surfaces something that is really important. The question isn't whether the disciples can do it. The question in verse 38 is whether they will bring what they have to Jesus to allow him to do what they cannot. The disciples bring 5 loaves and 2 fish. The crowd brings their willingness to sit down and trust Jesus. Everybody participates, but Jesus provides the miracle. And isn't that often how God works? At CAP, when someone first contacts us, sometimes they might be hoping that CAP will just fix it. Just Alan will just fix it for everybody. Maybe Georgina can just fix all the things. But what we've come to realize is that amazing transformation occurs when everyone participates together, including the client, when they gather their paperwork, when they open the unopened letters, when they sit down with the coach, when they say yes to prayer, they take one step and then another step and they begin engaging in the process. No one can do that part for them. And just as Jesus told the disciples, you feed them, there is an invitation to participate in what God is doing. And the same is true for us. Sometimes you might look at the money chaos in this community in Wainui or Mata and think, someone should really do something about that. I wonder if Jesus might say to us, you feed them. Not because this church has all the answers, not because this church has all the resources, but of course because he invites us into mission, using what we have. And so today I'd love to share a client video with you, and I'd love for you to turn to the screen and watch this client video. Oh. Is it going to play, do you reckon? Oh, there it is.
I always felt alone growing up, and I always felt like I was by myself. Everything I did growing up, I had to learn the hard way. I had to make a lot of mistakes, and I needed Jesse to have everything because I didn't have any of that growing up. I used to take loans out to the point I was in thousands of dollars worth of debt. When I spent money on things, it filled that void for a moment. But then I'd always slip back into feeling alone. Because I had so much debt, I wasn't able to get my own car. So I walked everywhere. We didn't do anything as a family. I hardly spent any time at home. My life was like a routine. Through holiday periods and Christmas periods, I was doing midnight shifts. I ended up in a really hard time of my life where I fell into really deep depression. Like, who am I? What am I meant to be doing? Why am I even here? And it got to the point where I tried to commit suicide and I gave Jesse up to my mum. I guess the only thing that kept me going was being Jesse's mum. Right from the phone call that I made to CAP, the only word that comes to my mind is I felt loved. I wasn't judged. They looked at me first and then we talked about my money and my debt. They wanted to know about me. The CAP workers really care about each person. They gave me tools to budget my money wisely. They taught me a lot about savings as well. I started to listen and I wanted help. Clint invited me to a CAP camp in Rosaroa, and when he invited me, I suffered from a lot of anxiety and self-doubt. I walked in with no worth. I actually sorted out a plan of how I could leave. And I was waiting in the kitchen and Katie and Mille came and talked about God's love. I realized for the first time in my life that I wasn't alone. And I just remember sitting there and I remember my heart racing. They just looked at me and I said, I want that. She was like, you can have it. And I was like, no, I really want that. Like everything that you guys are talking about, I want that. I want that. And that's when Katie said, well, you can have it. And I was like, well, what do I have to do to get it? And she was like, well, it's free. And I was like, let's do it. And I gave my heart to Jesus that night. I started questioning God. One of the first questions that I asked him was, show me who I am. From the time I asked that question, he kept showing me this mountain. I hated nature. I hated getting dirty. I hated anything to do with nature. And I was like, yeah, I'm not climbing that mountain. One day I went through a really hard time and was like, okay, I'll climb that mountain. So I climbed Mount Tauhara. And you know when you climb a mountain and it really hurts your muscles? Well, he said to me, release all your hurt, like the hurt in your muscles. So as I was climbing Mount Tauhara, I started saying all these things that made me angry, and I released them right to the top. When I got to the top, I had this overwhelming feeling of God said to me, you did make it, and you can make it again, and you can make it again. Katie said, you're free, you're debt free. And it took me a day to realize I was debt free. And then I was really excited. I started making goals about saving money and for my future. The more I came out in nature, it reminds me of God's creation and how beautiful it is and how beautiful He is and just how much He thinks of me. Like every time I'm out here, God shows me something different about myself. If I didn't find Kat and I didn't give my heart to Jesus, I probably wouldn't be here. Ko roa pehu te maunga, ko whanganui te awa, ko Aotea te waka, ko Ati Haunuia paparangi te iwi. My name is Gemma Four. 4 years ago, I was really lost, but now I'm found.
Isn't that beautiful? I wanted to show you this video because it's a bit of an old video, but it's such a beautiful picture, not just of the work of Kat, but of the work of the church and people and support volunteers who were involved in that journey. 2 months ago, I went to the Debt Help Centre in Taupo, that's where Gemma is from, to celebrate their 10-year anniversary. As I went to do that, I was able to share the story of how I'd visited a church at the end of last year. And as I went to visit the church, who did I see leading the operations and on team as a church leader within that church in Taupo? Gemma. And I just think, oh my goodness, this is such a profound work that we are a part of through really simple acts of simply giving Jesus what we have in our hands. So I ask you, what do you have to give? As Jesus is inviting us all to be a part of His mission, what are we bringing to offer Him? Maybe, as Royce has said this morning, maybe you can pray. As Georgina is stepping into the homes of people who come with complex circumstances, cover her in prayer. Can you set aside a little bit of time every week to faithfully pray for her? Maybe you can give, and by giving regularly, you can allow this ministry to continue. And thank you so much to those of you who are already giving to CAP. And perhaps you can volunteer. One of the crucial roles in a debt help centre operating well is to have a support volunteer go in a visit with a coach, to sit, to listen, to maybe even pray, to share testimony where appropriate, and to just be a friendly face. To put simply, to love our neighbour as ourselves. And remember, the question isn't whether what we have is enough. The question is whether we're willing to give what we have into Jesus' hands. And so, to be a support volunteer, all you really need is about 2 hours in the week to go on a visit, to have an openness to sit with people in their time of need. So if you feel a bit of a tug on your heart, like, yeah, I can do that, and I'd be really good at that, please come and see Alan and I at the table afterwards. We would love to chat with you. And as I finish today, this final observation, that what was offered was multiplied. After the people sat down and after the disciples participated, Jesus took what was available, gave thanks, broke the bread, and distributed it. And then what happened? They all ate and were satisfied. And the miracle ultimately, I don't think, was about impressing a crowd, about numbers or about spectacle. I think this miracle was about having people was Jesus meeting people's needs. And isn't that what we want to see in our communities? One of the things I love about how CAP and the church partner together is that we simply give what we have to offer, and what we see is God moving in wonderful ways. When debt is written off, when a family can breathe again, when there's money for groceries, when someone answers the phone and they're not scared to anymore, when hope returns, these moments are beautiful and they matter to God. And CAP exists because that same Jesus who cares about carrying burdens back in those days cares about it today. Gemma is just one of 4,700 people who are free from unmanageable debt because of their work with CAP and the church. And on top of that, $120 million in debt, this is the national stats for CAP, have been repaid or written off. And I want to be clear, CAP doesn't pay a single dollar of that. That is clients paying that off. That's debts being written off. And so this morning, I share maybe one story from this centre of a particular client when we talk about impact of a particular client. And this is just a snapshot into their story, who in their journey, which continues, they wouldn't necessarily say that they are a Christian, but through their journey at CAP, they've started asking for prayer, they've started reading scripture every day, and they've started wanting more of God. Isn't that amazing? Well, I think it is. And so as I finish today, as you can see at the front of the church today, we have our communion here. And the miracle of this 5,000 being fed reminds us that Jesus cares about our daily needs. Communion reminds us that Jesus went even further. He didn't just give bread, he gave himself. In John 6, it records a miracle as a sign. It records this miracle as a sign where Jesus eventually says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry." Because he is the one who meets our deepest need. Today, some of us might feel a little bit like the crowd, overwhelmed, maybe anxious, carrying burdens that seem too great. Some of us might feel like the disciples, aware of how little we have to offer. Some of us might be carrying someone else's burden through service and ministry. But wherever we find ourselves today, communion reminds us of the same truth. Bring what you have to Jesus. Bring your need. Bring your weakness. Bring your questions. Bring your resource. Bring your future. Bring the chaos. Because the one who brought order to the crowd still brings order today. The one who multiplied the loaves, he multiplies today. The one who fed the hungry still satisfies today. The same Jesus who fed the 5,000 now continues to invite us to his table. Come and receive. Come and remember. Come and be satisfied in him. And so what we will do is we will spend a little bit of time now where I will pray, and I invite you as you feel led to stand and come and take come forward and receive your communion, and then you can sit back down in your seats. Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah, we know how to do this, eh? Yeah, awesome. Well, me inoi tātou, allow me to pray, and then we can open up for communion. Lord Jesus, this morning, we remember your words where you said, "This is my body given for you, and my blood poured out for you." Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't simply give bread to the hungry, but you gave yourself for us. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your grace, your forgiveness, and your invitation to come to the table. We receive today the bread and the cup. Fill us again with faith, with gratitude, with compassion for those around us. Take what we offer, our lives, our prayers, our time, our resource, and use them for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you'd like to come forward and take communion.